wanted anything to do with them. Najal didn't want anything to do with Hrolleif. He just wanted to look at the wolf. His father's voice rang across the hall. "And I'm telling you, there are no boys of an age to give to your tithe. You won't take them little, but you don't want them once they've come to be men either. We do not have that many children, Wolfhe of Odman, and I cannot conjure them out of the fire for your asking."
"I thought your eldest son was of an age, Lord Gunnar."
"My son is not for the tithe." Najal flinched back at the vehemence in his father's voice, and the wolf's head turned. For a dizzying moment, her eyes caught him, pinned him like a spear through the gut. Firelight and autumn leaves, and a clarity he'd never seen in a dog's eyes. And then she looked back to her master, and Hrolleif laughed.
"Come out then, pup. Let us see this boy who is not for the tithe."
Najal heard his father curse, and if it had just been Hrolleif, he wouldn't have moved. Obedience was owed to his father, as Jarl and as sire. But the wolf had looked at him. Najal came the rest of the way down the stairs, not looking at his father, not looking at Hrolleif. He kept his eyes fixed on the Trell wolf, and although she did not look at him again, her ears monitored his movements.
"So," said Hrolleif,
and Najal had to look at him now, tilting his head to meet the old wolf's eyes.
"My sister says you might be fit to join our threat, youngling. What think you?"
Sister? Najal was bewildered. The only people in the arched and gloomy hall were his father, Hrolleif, and himself. And why would the Wolfhe of Odman be taking a woman's advice? But then the wolf turned her massive head to give him another look, this merely in passing, not the breath-stealing blow of before. And he knew that Hrolleif had meant her, his sister. He gulped and said,
"I do not know, Lord Hrolleif."
"An honest answer, at least. I do like a boy who doesn't swagger."
Hrolleif stepped forward, swiftly and with such power that it took a conscious effort for Najal to hold his ground. He caught Najal's jaw in one broad hand, turning his face toward the firelight. Peeling calluses scratched Najal's face.
"Handsome lad. He takes after your lady wife, I see. Damn you, Hrolleif. Lord Gunnar."
All the easy amusement was gone from Hrolleif's voice, although his fingers stayed gentle against Najal's face.
"You know the laws. You owe the Wolfhe'll tithe. And as you yourself have said, there are not many lads of the right age in manor or village. We cannot farm when we are fighting. And if we are not fighting, you are Jarl of..."
His free hand rose in an expansive gesture.
"Nothing."
"Thorkel Blacksmith's son,"
Najal's father said, and Najal was embarrassed at the note of pleading in his voice.
"Is simple-minded," Hrolleif said flatly, "as this one is not. What's your name, pup?"
"Najal, Lord Hrolleif."
"Najal. You will fulfill your house's duty to the Wolfhe'll, will you not?"
Fear blocked Najal's throat. Wolfhe'll. There were stories. He turned away, pulling against Hrolleif's grip, so he would not have to look into the Wolfhe of Odman's eyes or at his father's rage. He owed a duty to his father, to the village and the manor. He was the Jarl's son, raised to be heir. There was a girl, Alfleda, whom he'd half promised to take as a paramour once he was married. And there was a betrothal to a Jarl's daughter he'd never met, and there was his father's gaze, resting on him now with an iron weight. And there were stories of what the men of the Wolfhe'll did with each other, with the boys who went in tithe. But as he turned, the Trell Wolf lifted her head again and caught him with a gaze of such piercing, knowing sweetness, that he swallowed the fear. He couldn't stop looking at the wolf, and he owed a duty to the Wolfhe'll too. Because Hrolleif was right, if the Wolfhe'll did not fight, there would be nothing left.